Good morning. Last time we talked about how reliable God is, and we're going to continue that theme by looking at how God helps his people. He's so reliable that he provides help whenever we need it. So the title of today's teaching is Help is on the Way. We've all seen those shows, and the old Westerns used to wait for the cavalry to come charging over the hill, and there's all sorts of things in fiction where people are in a big mess, and then the hero shows up at just the last minute and saves the day. And those are fun, but they're fiction. But in real life, God is that hero that shows up when we need help, and he is amazingly wonderful. So we'll read a number of records that we haven't read for a while here about that. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's start there. Here we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. In verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. He was one of the kings of Judah. And Asa his son reigned in his stead, and in his days the land was quiet for 10 years. That's amazing if you think of what a war-torn part of the world that was and has been and still is. To have peace and quiet for 10 years was wonderful. Verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places. Those were the altars for worshiping false gods and the images, and which again were various statues of false gods, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and he had no war in those years. Why? Because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So while things were quiet and there was no war, they took the chance to further strengthen the various cities so that when the inevitable war would come, they would be prepared and able to defend the cities. So they built and prospered. Verse 8, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So he had a total of 580,000 warriors, just over 500,000. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots. So a little over 1,000,000. So the Ethiopians basically had twice as many soldiers and a lot more chariots than Asa had. So it was outnumbered basically 2 to 1. And he came unto Maresha. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Because from a military standpoint, he was outnumbered basically 2 to 1. So Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. It's no big deal for you to help us, whether with many or with them that have no power. If we had a huge army, you could help us. If we had no army, you could help us. We're sort of in between. We have half the size army we need. But he said, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So he just prayed and reminded God of what God had told him. He said, it's nothing for you to help us, whether we have a little bit of military might or a lot of it. It doesn't matter. And you're our God. Don't let these unbelievers get us. We're looking to you. Verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So no, the Lord did it. I'm sure the Judeans went out and fought some, but it's the Lord that smote them and gave them the victory. The Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, before his army, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. So it looked like, from a military standpoint, they were totally outnumbered, which they were, but they prayed. Asa cried to the Lord fought for them, and instead of being destroyed, they went home with much riches, both of cattle and gold and who knows what else they had, but they had great riches because they got help from the Lord. 2 Chronicles 18. This is sort of in the middle of the record of Jehoshaphat that we've read many times, because we know that Jehoshaphat started out well, but then he allied himself with King Ahab and sort of goofed things up, but then he got himself back together with God. Then he was attacked by three countries at once and cried unto the Lord, and the Lord came and fought the battle for them, and all the enemy soldiers killed each other, and again, they weren't destroyed, they came out great victorious. But sort of in the middle of that long, wonderful three-chapter record, which goes from 2 Chronicles 17 to chapter 20, right in the middle of it, we have when Jehoshaphat is dealing with Ahab. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom. He was a wonderful believer. He made a few mistakes, like anybody.
Has left the conference.
He made a few mistakes, like anybody, but overall, Jehoshaphat walked with God, whereas Ahab was the other way around. For the most part, he did not walk with God. There are one or two times when he did, but most of the time he was the perfect model of an unbelieving king, with rare exceptions. And Jehoshaphat was the perfect model of a believing king, with rare exceptions. So here in the middle of this, Jehoshaphat and Ahab are talking in 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 28. So the king of Israel, Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. So they go out to this big battle in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 29. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, is dressed up in his royal robes, in his royal chariot, so he looks like a king. Whereas Ahab is dressed like a common foot soldier, or perhaps a common charioteer, doesn't say which, but he does not look like a king. He's dressed like a rank-and-file soldier. Now, what's going to happen? Verse 30. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. Uh-oh. So the Syrian soldiers are supposed to forget about the rank-and-file soldiers and only kill the king of Israel. Well, who's dressed up like a king? Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. So let's see what happened. Verse 31, it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord, what? Helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. Because from a sense knowledge point of view, he was the likely target. He was the only guy in royal robes, crown, fancy chariot, whatever kings wore at the time. So the soldiers would have killed him. But Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord, and the Lord, what? Helped him. Because the Lord is the one that's reliable. Ahab wasn't reliable. Ahab, in the sense, set him up to get killed, because Ahab didn't go out in his royal robes, and Jehoshaphat did. So let's read that again. Verse 31, it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. For it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, "Turn thy hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." So the king of Israel, Ahab, is in a chariot, but he's not dressed in his royal robes. And a man who's just sort of taking pot shots, just shooting into the crowd, happened to hit Ahab between the joints, because he was wearing armor, but the arrow went between the joints in the armor and killed him. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit, nevertheless, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening, about the time the sun going down, he died. So Ahab did not go to the Lord for help. He tried to use his schemes to disguise himself. It didn't work. And because he was listening to false prophets and not obeying the true God, he died. Whereas Jehoshaphat cried on the Lord for help, and he got it. Better to get help from the Lord. 2 Chronicles 25. Another great record here. 2 Chronicles 25. The Lord's reliable. He's the one that provides help. Verse 1. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. So he was the king of Judah for 29 years. And his mother's name was Jehoadon of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So he was good and did what he should, but obviously wasn't perfect. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, "The fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together, and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. So like the first record with Asa, there were 300,000 soldiers in Judah. Wow, Judah and Benjamin only had 300,000. Wow, they had like almost twice that much back in the time of Asa. So they were shrinking. Interesting. Verse 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So since he only had 300,000 men, he hired 100,000 what we call mercenaries. But he hired them from Israel. But there came a man of God to him, saying, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim," meaning the northern kingdom of Israel. "But if thou wilt go do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down." So, again, Amaziah had 300,000 of his own soldiers. He hired 100,000 from Israel. The man of God said, "Don't bring the Israelites. God is not with them. And if you go to battle with them, you're going to lose. You'll be defeated." But look what this says, verse 9. Fascinating. Amaziah said unto the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." So Amaziah was upset about the money he'd spent, that he would have to forfeit. And the Lord just said, or the man of God said, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." It's better to get help from God than from these unbelieving Israelites, and God will give you much more. And that's just a great thing to remember, because part of life is loss. Part of life is not being able to hold on to things you'd like to. Part of life is grieving over things we wish we had and we don't, whether it's the loss of a loved one, or it's the loss of a business deal, or or like my car, which the engine blew up a few weeks ago, and it's become a boat anchor. We lose things in life, And we can either spend all our time grieving over it. I mean, it's okay to grieve and get used to the loss. That's normal and appropriate. But then at some point we go, that's a loss. Let's pray for God to provide something else. If we lose a loved one, we pray for God to provide other companionship or other activities. If we lose a piece of machinery like my car, we pray for God to provide a new one. If you lose a business deal or a job, you pray for God to provide a new one. And just remember, God is able to give thee much more than this. Whatever it is you've lost, God can give you much more. And that's what Amaziah had to realize. And he did. And the Israelite soldiers he sent home got a little mad and caused a little damage. But Amaziah went along ahead to prosper and be victorious because he listened to the man of God and didn't bring the Israelite soldiers with him to the battle. So God can help. He can give you whatever loss you may have, and we all have losses at various times in our lives. God is able to give thee much more than this. 2 Chronicles 26, the next chapter. Here we have Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. It's a long reign. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, that's the prophet, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. See, that's something we read in the scriptures. As long as people seek the Lord, God will make them prosper. Nobody has a guarantee that they're going to prosper, no matter what they do. And nobody has a guarantee that they're going to fail, no matter what they do. Remember, there was a time in Ahab's life where he repented and turned to God, and God blessed him. Because even though he was a great unbeliever for so long, and there were times where people like Jehoshaphat and David were great believers, but they messed up and they had problems. But then they came back to God and God blessed them abundantly. So how great it is there in verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God, what? Verse 7, look at that. God helped him. God was reliable. He showed up to help him. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gur Baal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, and he strengthened himself exceedingly. But look how great that is. He sought the Lord. The Lord made him to prosper. When he warred against the Philistines, God helped him against the Philistines and the Arabians. So that's what God did. He helped him. And that should be the attitude we have. We're going to have loss like Amaziah did. But we pray to the Lord and God gives us much more than that. We're going to have problems like Uzziah had with the Philistines, but we'll seek the Lord, we'll ask him for help, and he'll give us help, and we'll prosper. So we don't want to focus on the losses and the challenges. I mean, again, we have to deal with them, we have to grieve, we have to be ready to move on, but at the end of the day, we have to look to God to help. We have to seek the Lord and know that he will help us. Other people, other circumstances, other business deals, other equipment, other everything is going to come and go in life. But God will be there to take care of us because that's what he always does. Now, another record in 2 Chronicles 32, a favorite one with Hezekiah. It's another one that covers several chapters. Maybe one another time we'll read all the chapters about Hezekiah and all the chapters about Jehoshaphat. But again, we're just going to pick out a few highlights today in 2 Chronicles 32. Remember, this is the time when the Assyrians Somewhere around 700 BC, the Assyrians came in from Mesopotamia and basically took captive all the countries in the Middle East, and they took most of the cities of Judah. The only one left was Jerusalem, and they tried to conquer Jerusalem, but Hezekiah prayed, and Isaiah the prophet went to God for Hezekiah and told him what to do, and then the next morning, the Assyrians woke up and most of their soldiers were dead. So the king of Assyria went back home sort of with his tail between his legs and got assassinated by his very own sons. And they had great victory, even though from a military standpoint, I mean, it was huge. Picture, you know, a nice little town like where I live in Palmyra, Virginia, or where Mom lives in Georgetown, Connecticut, or, you know, where the Dundons' home is down in Ebony, Virginia, or even Falmouth, where they live. Picture that, and then the entire army of some large country coming against it. He'd be a little outnumbered. Well, that's sort of the way Judah was when the Assyrians came. Judah had a couple hundred thousand soldiers, perhaps, at full strength, but they were, you know, backed in a corner in Jerusalem, so they had very little fighting strength. Just one walled city. Yet God helped them, and they came out victorious. So we as people tend to look at the odds stacked against us, and if they don't look good, we tend to get discouraged. Yet time after time in the scriptures, you see places where God's people are totally outnumbered. Yet they go to God and ask for help, and he somehow brings victory. So instead of thinking about how outnumbered you are, which we all do, think about how great and capable God is. So let's read in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1. And after these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib king of Assyria came and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed, determined to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So they tried to stop up the various springs and places to get water outside the city, so when the Assyrians were there, they would have nothing to drink. Verse 4, so there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brooks that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Verse 5, and also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor all the multitude that is with him, for there be more than with us than with him. And that's true, because they had all of God's power, all of God's ability, all of his strength, which was much more than the king of Assyria. Reminds me of that record with, I think Elijah's in the city of Dothan, and his servant goes out and sees they're surrounded by the army of Syria, and he's all upset. And Elijah says to his servant, probably Gehazi, says, don't worry, they're more with us than there are with him. And Gehazi's looking down and saying, look, boss, there's you, there's me, there's the teapot and the donkey. That's about all they had. But these guys have hundreds of chariots and soldiers. How can there be more with us? And then Elijah prayed, and God opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw chariots of fire around about the hill. God had all his heavenly host, his angels, there to fight, much more powerful than the army of Syria. And that's similar to what Hezekiah is saying to those in Jerusalem with him. Here in chapter 32, verse 7, again, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. In verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. So the king of Assyria does have a big army, an arm of flesh. hundreds of thousands of soldiers, chariots, battering rams, whatever there was, he had the biggest army in that whole part of the world, maybe anywhere in the world. So he did have an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And that's the decision we have to make every day. Am I going to be upset because my opponents have an arm of flesh? They have more money, they have more smarts, they have more resources, they have more allies, they have more something than I do? Or am I going to be excited that the Lord is there to help us, who has much more power? And that's what we have to look to. The Lord always has more power. So again, verse 8, with them is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And of course, as I mentioned before, the Lord does come fight. The Assyrian soldiers die during the night and they leave. There's nobody left to fight them. A small group left goes home. King of Assyria is assassinated and they don't bother the Judeans anymore. And it's something like 200 years later, after the Babylonians have conquered the Assyrians, that the Babylonians come back under King Nebuchadnezzar. And the difference was, when they did come back, the Judeans were not worshiping the true God. They were offering drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven and other false gods. So the Babylonians were able to conquer the city. But during the time of Hezekiah, between Hezekiah the king and Isaiah the prophet, who the people listened to, they were trusting the true God, and the Assyrians were not able to conquer the city because they trusted in God's help. Okay, let's go on to Psalm 3, please. A couple here to wrap up. Fun to read these records, isn't it? God is so amazingly capable to take care of his people. Now, we don't want to look for problems in daily life, but problems tend to pop up. So when they do, we just remember the help from God is the best. And you can go through weeks and months where everything's perfect, then all of a sudden a problem pops up. Well, don't get all discouraged and say, why now? Why me? What did I do wrong? Don't even think about that. Think about God's going to help us. And I'm going to look to God and have great victory. Psalm 3 and verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou art, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. But look at that verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. God can't help him. Well, it's not true. Look at verse 3. Thou art, Lord, art a shield for me. You protect me, and you lift up my head. You don't leave me down in the gutter or in the pits. You lift me up out of the pit, so I'm elevated and raised and taken care of. There is help with God. Let's go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Oops, I jumped ahead. I want to go to Psalm 46 first. We'll get to 146 in a minute. I got my 46s mixed up. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a present help. Some people want to help you, but they're like on the other part of the world and won't answer the phone. So they're really not much good. But God is a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Everything goes crazy. There's earthquakes. There's, you know, typhoons. Everything's going nuts. I'm not going to worry because God will be there to take care of me. He's a very present help. Let's go to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Just be still. We get all upset, we get all worried, we get all flustered, our heart is racing, we get scared, we get worried, we get nervous. It just says, be still, stop. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's why we can be still, because we know God is there as our refuge and our strength. Now, Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord, verse 1. Psalm 146, 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is what? No help. I mean, people can do things for you, but they can't take care of everything you need. They can't be your complete help. You may get a little of this, a little of that from this person or that prince, meaning the big shot. Verse 4, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. But look at this, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Those that decide to go to God for help, and they get help from God because they pray and ask God for help and trust him, that person is happy because he's going to an unlimited source. It'd be like you need to buy some fancy thing, and all you can do is go down to your corner convenience store and they don't have it. But then you go on some fancy online place like Amazon, or you go to a big store like a Walmart where they have everything, and you're happy because you can buy anything you want. Whatever it is you want, you can get it. And that's better than being in this little tiny corner store that just doesn't have what you need. Well, at a much greater scale, instead of trying to go to this person or that person or this circumstance or that circumstance to get what we need, God is our help. He's unlimited. He can do absolutely anything we need. So let's look at that again. Verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which hath made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Verse 7, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth or lets go the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked, he just turns that upside down. The Lord God shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And just remember, the Lord shall reign forever. So he wasn't just answering prayer in the time of King David when these Psalms were being written. He wasn't just answering prayer in the time of King Asa and King Amaziah and King Uzziah and the others we read about, Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah. He answers prayers today. He is just as active, just as capable, just as willing. As a matter of fact, we have it better than they did, because after the wonderful ministry of Jesus Christ, we have direct access to God that they didn't have as much of back then. So we have everything these guys had, plus much, much more. Wonderful. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 41. Just a few more here to wrap up. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will what? Help thee. God is going to help us. Ever been in a mess where it seemed like nobody wanted to help you? You were on your own? And then some friend showed up who was really good at whatever it is you're working on and they helped you with it? You went, thank you. I couldn't have figured that out, but you knew just what to do. Well, multiply that by like a million. And that's when God shows up. And God does. Again, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee, were really mad at thee, shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will what? Help thee. That's our God. Don't worry, he's going to help us. And then one more in the book of Acts. I always like to get a New Testament verse in here, just in case you think God only helped people in the Old Testament. Acts 26, verse 12. And of course, this is after Paul has gone to Jerusalem, contrary to the word of the Lord, been attacked by the crowd and arrested. And look what this says, Acts 26, verse 12. Oh, Paul is talking about his early ministry, his conversion. And look what he says, Acts 26, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the high priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way, in the path, in the road, a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, which is a Eastern saying, but we'd call it banging your head against the wall, because when you were plowing a field, if you had an oxen that didn't want to stay straight, you would hold out, the farmer would hold out a stick with a thorn in it. So every time the oxen kicked, he'd be pricking himself in his ankle. Again, we would use the terminology, bang your head against the wall, doing damage to yourself. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thee? It hurts to bang your head against the wall. Verse 15, and I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet or appropriate for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Verse 22. Having therefore obtained what? Help of God. And Paul got much help of God. He was stoned in Asia. He suffered shipwreck. He had to be let out the window in a basket because people were waiting to kill him in Damascus. He had so many things happen. Yet in every case, he obtained help from God. There were times when he didn't know who to go speak God's word to, and God opened the door and gave him a dream and said, go to Macedonia. So over and over, God provided what was needed to help Paul. He was in impossible situations, time after time after time. But God, time after time after time, was there to help him. So let's look again at verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, say none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So having obtained help of God, he continued. And we all need the help of God. It's great to know he's reliable. It's great to know that in every single circumstance, we can trust God and he will come through for us. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your confidence. Thank you that we can rejoice and be thankful for what you've provided. Thank you for the return of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we'll see my wonderful Father again, along with all of our other loved ones that we've lost. And we're just
delighted to be able to trust you, look to you, and know that you help us, take care of us, and provide all we need. We thank you for this and a wonderful week ahead in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a good couple weeks, and if the Lord tarries, we'll do this again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, you can listen to anything you want on the website. I appreciate Brian taking care of the website so well. So love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.